Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to John chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." What a glorious message the gospel is. What a glorious message the gospel is. It says that our Lord knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Look with me at verse 3. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." From God to God. Our Lord did not begin 2,000 years ago. There came a point not too long ago that I began. I was born and I began. I was not before that, and then all of a sudden I was. But not our Lord. Our Lord did not begin 2,000 years ago. He was in the beginning with God. And the reason he was in the beginning with God is because he was God, the Son of God the Trinity. All the fullness of the Godhead. And he came from God in order to live for some sinners who couldn't live for themselves. And he came to die for some sinners who could not die for themselves. And verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world." Loved his own which were in the world. What was he doing with every step that he took on this earth for 33 and a half years? What was he doing? He was loving his own. That's what he was doing. He was accomplishing a life of good works that they could never accomplish for themselves. There's a song that says, "Living, he loved me. Living, he loved me. Amazing love, how can it be?" There's a song that says, "It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace." It was a miracle. It was absolutely a miracle. Let me show you why. Turn with me, if you have your Bible open, turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Received him not. The love that Christ had for his own was unmerited love on our part. We didn't earn it. It was undeserved love. We were not owed it from Him. It was unexplainable love. Truly. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. We didn't even want Him. All we can say is, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the bloody victim for our sins. That's love. That is love. Back in John chapter 13, verse 1 says, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them to the end. To the end. End of what? The end of His own life. The end of His suffering. The end of the cross. He loved them till He took His last breath and gave up the ghost. He loved them till the end of the third day as He laid in that grave, separated from God for them. He loved them. He loved them till the final blow of God's wrath and punishment for sin was given. That final blow. He loved them till God His Father was satisfied. He loved them to the end. Verse 2 says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. Everything our Lord accomplished for His own, He did it by Himself. He did it by Himself. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, when He had by Himself purged our sins. He did it by Himself. He earned heaven for His people by Himself. He does not need me to take the second step. People say, well, you know, He took the first step and you've got to take the second step. No, no, no. He did it by Himself. He paid the price for all of the sin of His people by Himself. By Himself. And He's going to illustrate that to His disciples in what He's about to do. And if all we get out of this is a lesson in humility, our Lord is about to teach us something, His disciples there and now us something. And if all we get out of what our Lord is about to do is a lesson in humility and service, then we have missed Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the honest truth of the matter. If all we get out of this is a lesson in humility and service, a humanitarian lesson, a moral lesson, then we have missed Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We've missed the gospel. We have flat missed the gospel if that's all we get out of it. Our Lord is about to show them who He is and what He's done. Now, verse 4 right here in John 13 says, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. That's what He did. That right there is what He did. That is the gospel right there. That's the glorious gospel for sinners right there. If you have your Bible, turn over to Philippians 2. I hope you do have your Bible this morning. Let's read this together. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 5. It says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Christ is the King of heaven. You know that? Christ is the ruler of the universe. He has forever been seated on His throne before His subjects and before His armies and His spiritual creations that look to Him and wait for His every command. Solomon was a picture of Christ. And when the Queen of Sheba went to see Solomon, one of the things that caused her to have no more spirit in her was when she saw the ascent by which He went up to His throne and the attendance of His ministers and their apparel. Peter said, He took us to the Mount of Transfiguration, and we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We saw His majesty. The High King of heaven, we beheld His glory. And He was so white and glistering, no white on this earth could compare. He was robed in the glory of His own righteousness. Crown Him with many crowns. This is the God of all creation. Philippians 2 verse 7 says, But He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That does not mean He never had a reputation and He never gave Himself one. It means He took His glory off. That's what it means. He took His glory off. The glory that could never be described because it could never be imagined. He took His glory off and laid it to the side. And He put a towel on. A servant's towel. And not only did the centerpiece of the universe, that's who Christ is. He's the centerpiece of the universe. Not only did He make Himself to be a servant, He also made Himself have no reputation. No reputation. The owner of everything, the maker of everything, the creator of everything. The earth and everything in the earth, you and me. No reputation. That's why men and women don't really see anything special in this man, Jesus. They like Him just fine, but take Him or leave Him, you know. It's because He on purpose hid everything that He is. He hid it from the eyes of sinful flesh. Right here in Philippians 2, verse 7 says, He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. We try as hard as we can, but mortal man will never come close to describing how far Christ came down for His people. Never. I could never, ever describe Him high enough. Never. And I could never, never describe us low enough. I could never describe how far that distance is. The distance He came down. He humbled Himself down. Philippians 2 verse 8 says, Being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what our Lord is illustrating to His disciples back in John 13. Turn with me back over to John 13. Verse 4 says, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet one by one, individually. Every disciple, He went to them personally, individually, and He washed their feet. He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Now back in that time, back in those days, a man who had a house full of servants, within those servants, there was rank. Even the servants had rank. Everybody wants to be in charge of somebody. And one servant would have the job of washing the master and his family and his guests' feet, either when they entered the house or before they ate. One servant had the job of washing their feet. And this was the lowest, most degrading job in the house. The lowest servant on the totem pole had this job. And he was looked down on by everybody. All the other servants, everybody. He was the least. He was the least. Well, in doing this, our Lord was showing His disciples and showing us how deep His love was for His people. How far He came down to do all that He did for us. He kneeled down to the ground. Each disciple, each one, He kneeled down to the ground. And as He poured water on those dirty, dusty feet, it made mud. You can imagine this. It made mud. And then He took His towel, the towel that was clothing Him, and He started wiping those feet. And by the time He finished His work, those feet were sparkling clean. And the towel that girded Him, the towel that He wore, the towel that clothed Him, it was a muddy mess. He took their mud off of them, and He put it on Himself. He wore it. He wore it. He didn't just hold a towel till it got muddy and then get another one. He wore it. What does that mud represent? The mud that he completely wiped clean off of his disciples and laid on himself. What does that mud represent? It represents sin. Sin. That's what he did for us. Verse 6 right here in John 13, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" This is his master, not the lowest servant of the house. He said, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." He said, "Peter, what I'm doing you don't understand right now. You just don't know." Now, from a physical standpoint, Peter did know what he was doing. He could see what he was doing. That's why he pulled his feet back and he said, "You're going to wash me? Lord, you're going to wash me?" Peter knew that this is the Master. He could see that the Lord was giving them an example of great humiliation and great service. But he did not understand the spiritual truth in the matter. And the average man or woman sees Jesus, this man Jesus, as being an example of humility, an example of service, a wonderful humanitarian, but they have no idea who he is or why he came. They have no idea. They just can't see it. They just cannot see it. They have not been given eyes to see him. See him. Not religion. People are so caught up in religion. They're so caught up in what they believe is deep doctrine. I love how simply our Lord preached. Simply. They don't see him. They don't know who he is. They don't know why he came. They don't know what he accomplished. Verse 6, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And that's the truth of the matter. If Christ himself does not wash a sinner, that sinner will have no part with him. No part. Washing with what? That water? No, his own blood. His own blood. Christ Jesus left his own glory and came down to this wretched place to wash his own in his own blood. He said, "Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Verse 9, "Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Wash me top to bottom. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no work you can do." What must I do? There is no work you can do. There is no prayer you can pray. "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." Peter said, "Wash my hands and my head. Wash my deeds and my thoughts." The Lord said, "I have. You're clean. But you're going to have to continue walking through this sinful world. And as the dust of this world collects on your feet, You're going to need cleansing every day. You're going to need brand new mercies every morning. In Christ, we are washed. But until the day we leave this earth, we are never going to stop crying, Lord, wash me. Wash me. In Christ, we are forgiven. But until the day we leave this earth, we will never stop crying, Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me. I still have some of this sinful world on me. There's still plenty of this sinful flesh that needs to come off. He said at the end of verse 10, you are clean, but not everyone here is clean, not all. Verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. After his work was finished, after his own were made clean, he took that towel off, and he took his garment back. He took his glory back. And he revealed to them everything he had done. And that's the message of Scripture. It's everything that Christ has already done. When he by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He said, you're clean. You're clean. And then he gave us this commandment. Verse 13, he said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Are you saying that we ought to forgive each other's sins? Yes. Yes. He's saying, if I forgave your brother's sin, so should you. So should you. Why do we do this? Do we obey his command here to earn heaven? No. It's because God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. That's our motivation. Our motivation for following our Lord's example is love and thanks. Love and thanks for what he's already done. Forgive one another as I have forgiven you. He said, I command it. I expect it. And you'll be happy if you do. You'll be happy if you obey me. Lord calls us to forgive our brethren as you have forgiven us. Until next Sunday morning, may our Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.